Now, do we actually call you Ye Burnleff, J Burnleff? How would you actually prefer to be called?
Well, people call me Hank Burnleff. My actual name is Hank Marsman, but Marsman was also the name of a very well-known Dutch poet in the 30s. So when I started publishing, I had to look for another name. And then I came up with this Burnleff. And Burnleff, just Burnleff, you can't do that. So I put in the initial of my second name from Jan. But people now call me Hank Burnleff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just a sort of general question to start off. Many of the reviews describe the book as being about perception. I wondered too, was it more isolation that you wanted to explore?
Well, it was more like it very often is that the publisher puts some words on the back of the book, and that becomes the image of the book. Well, of course you can say it's about perception, but actually I think it's much more about the relationship of thinking and language and the importance of language in ordering the world. What will happen to your perception when you can't order the world in language? Because that's what happens to the protagonist of this novel.
Yes, Case Sommer has a car crash. His car goes into a canal because he actually can't feel the left side of his body anymore. And then when he comes out, he's reduced to the status of a child, and in many ways he reverts to childhood, doesn't he?
Yes. Of course, the images of childhood are very important in this book. And in a way, you could say that he is thrown back into a state of...
Sorry, can we just wait for this? Boeing 747, whatever. Okay, so you were going to explain that in some ways childhood is central to his experience.
Yeah, because he loses the capacity to express his thoughts. I mean, it seems so self-evident for us that we can think and talk, and now suddenly he loses that capacity. He can talk, but what he says is not what he thinks. There is it makes a kind of the surroundings, the people that he meets, think him idiot or childish, and they react to him as they would react to a child that really knows nothing about the world. But the whole frustration of him is that his thoughts are not... I mean, something happened to his brain, but his thoughts are functioning real good, but he just can't express them. And it's funny to see that even the intelligent people from the Times Literary Supplement seem to think that thinking and talking is the same thing, and it seems to be that way. That's the way you experience it. You have not experienced that you first think something and then you say something. It seems to be the same process going along at the same time. But on the other, if you look into the real process, and you can only see what happens when something goes wrong in the brain, when something gets clocked in the mechanism, then you can see that these are different processes, and they are a split second apart. We don't experience it that way, but that's really how it is, you know. But few people seem to know that.
What actually interested you in this idea, though? What was the inspiration, if you like, for developing this kind of losing your capacity to speak, like, as though you're doing it by satellite delay or something? What interested you in this idea?
Well, I've been already for the last 10, 15 years, I've been very much interested in the working of the human brain. How how come that we can think and that we have a perception of the world, and why does it look like it looks, and why do we have all the same perception of the world? Why can we have a conversation about it? These are all, these are rather philosophical questions, but I go one step further because I first want to know what the apparatus is with which we do our thinking. And the curious thing about the human brain is that you cannot know anything about it unless something goes amiss in the brain. So that's why I have written a book about Alzheimer's disease, and now Eclipse is also, you could say, it's a mixture of some neurological cases. This is not because I'm interested in illness in itself, in the tragedy of illness, but it's simply the only way to speculate about the working of the brain, and that's why I'm interested in it.
Now, the character K. Sommer, he pulls himself out of the canal, and he wanders around in a bit of a daze, completely vulnerable, around the northern part of the Netherlands for 10 days, in fact. The people he meets and hooks up with along the way, they too are sort of outcast of society. They're, again, shut out from the normal world. That's why I wondered whether isolation too was something that interested you. For instance, we have the widow who lost her husband and really ended up sleeping rough because she couldn't face being alone in the house. Two men who are on the wrong side of the law, if you like. One mm-hmm. is illiterate, he can't read or write, so again, things are unavailable to him. And of course, to the deaf old man who's seen as rather crazy by the locals. These are all people that you presumably developed with an idea in your mind.
Yes, he meets these people because they are the only ones that more or less accept him as being in the same situation as they are. And there is also, of course, some sort of a hidden criticism on normal society. That's also a part of the book, you know, but I think the idea that people have of normal, of being normal, it's what they actually mean is people that really do like they are expected to do. And all these outcasts and thieves and they have a much more individual approach to life than the others.
Now, much of the action, or much of the book, is played out in the northern province of Friesland, which I believe you come from originally.
Yeah.
So is that something you wanted to include in the book, a sense of the Frisian landscape, which perhaps we should explain to a sort of foreign audience?
Yeah. Well, most of the time when I get an idea for a book, it's first the landscape I have. If I don't have the landscape, I won't find the story. So it's the other way around than for most writers who have first have the story and then they search for a place where it can happen. But with me, it's always the landscape first, and I never had written extensively about this part of Holland where I come from, and that I know very well. A lot of child memories from different places where I lived and where my relatives were living, so I could use that in a book. Because as a writer, you can make up stories. It's very easy. I mean, if you've done this for 25 years, it's very easy. People can ask me subject matter, but the craziest things I turn up with the story in a couple of hours. I mean, this is just the job of writing, but to get something of your own soul, of your own soul in the writing, you're dependent on things that you really know from experience.
How would you describe Friesland? What are its qualities that would mean something to people who've never been there?
Well, the nicer thing about it is that the whole country is a water landscape. People actually not anymore, but when I was a child, they used boats for everything. So you were on the water all the time. And that was the nicest thing about it, I think.
And of course, skating is a huge factor in Dutch people's lives, but in Frisian people's lives too. And there's what I thought a very beautiful metaphor in the book, where Kees is sort of reliving his childhood, but also seeing himself kind of on the edge of an abyss, where he's this child skating across a frozen lake and the ice is cracking and you know that it might just give way at any minute and he'll fall into this blackness below.
Yes, it actually happened to him also when he was a child. He went through the ice and now, as a metaphor of his whole mental situation, is, in general of our whole mental situation, that this is only very thin ice where we are skating on. We perceive the world and we think everything is normal and we have a sense of space and time and everything happens the way we expect it to happen, and then suddenly something happens in our brain and everything becomes mysterious and frightening.
You also say, or Case rather, the character says that melancholy is a sickness which infects you through the objects around you. Do you actually believe that objects are capable of, I assume, drawing such emotional responses that they can be very unbalancing?
Yes, I think so. That not of course when you see ordinary objects, but objects that that have been around people you know, and these people have disappeared, but the objects are still there. So these objects are very strong in bringing up memories of them and give you a sense of time that passed, you know. So in this way, I think they must be familiar objects, of course. But also when I go to a flea market, I get the same feeling. And you see all these albums with photographs and things that people have used in their, that have been part of a household, and now they are lying around on the flea market. So I start always wondering about the stories of the objects. Where do they come from? How were the people looking that used these objects, you know? So in this way, you must be a little sensitive to that, of course. Other people see just combs and pens and things, but my mind starts working that way immediately.
Now, at the end of the book, Case kind of goes full circle. He goes through this process where he gets better, which is actually described as being thawed. He thaws out and gradually regains the use of his left side, the use of his language, and he returns home to his family and sees his son, who in many ways possibly he's at the same age as the child Case that we hear about in the book. So it's kind of full circle, I suppose. Has he confronted his ghosts as well as his disability?
Yes, the book is going full circle at the end. And but it's also a kind of crazy in this book that at the end of the book, the protagonist doesn't remember a thing of what we have been reading, and that's kind of funny. But I liked this idea that he lived through a period of time that now will be forever a blackout in his mind. But we have been reading this period in the book, you know. And that was an idea that I liked very much.
Okay, as the final question, we were talking before a bit about the breaking into the British or American market as a Dutch writer. How does one actually do that? How does one break into another language market and become recognized, if you like?
Well, in the first place, it's of course the strength of the book. But then you should be recognized. People should write about you, and that's a lot more difficult because, I mean, when you're part of German literature, for instance, people start comparing you with Thomas Mann and Günter Grass, etc., etc. There are all kinds of points of reference, and these points of reference are still not there in England. So people don't know you're just coming out of nowhere. Dutch literature, yeah, they know where Holland is situated, but they don't know anything about Dutch literature. So that makes it very difficult for a Dutch author to break through in Britain because you're completely on your own, and you have to make it on the strength of this one particular book, you know.
Now, I know you don't believe in sort of scenes as such and comparisons between authors of the same nationality, but is there something Dutch in your style, would you say?
Yes, I think my approach to literature is connected with a lot of Dutch art that is rather minimalistic in its style. So you won't find in my books a lot of psychology. It's very spare writing, and I hope that the readers get the meaning of the story that's somewhere hidden under the surface, in the same way that some writer like, for instance, Raymond Carver is doing that. It sounds, I mean, if you read these stories, you think, well, this is all so commonplace, and it's nothing unusual there, and still you have the feeling that there's something mysterious under the surface of the writing, and that's where I'm looking for it. So my writing has nothing of the exuberance of, for instance, the writers from the thousand part of Holland and Belgium. They write more in a exuberant way with a lot of language. And I like that too, but it's not my style.
Thank you very much.